Welcome to the Autonicast. I'm Ed Niedermeyer. With me, as always, are my co-hosts, Alex Roy and Kirsten Korosek. Alex, how are you?
I'm exhausted. I've just written 11,000 words about Tesla Autopilot and Super Cruise. And,
well,
hi, Kirsten.
Good thing we already did an episode about that.
Hi, Kirsten. How you doing?
Excellent, as always. Working on, the big Aurora Volkswagen Hyundai partnership story for Future Mag piece.
All right. And we have later on the show, we're going to have a little bit more about that. So stay tuned for that. And if we seem a little bit punch drunk today, I think it's because we're all sort of reaching that point where CES is staring down at us and we're kind of, you know, gazing into the abyss here. And forgive us if the abyss seems to be kind of gazing back at us. this is my first CES. I've never been before. Guys, you guys have both been, right? What do I need to be?
Well, I think Alex is the true expert. Being at CES, I think 22 years. Yeah. I've only been four times, so I'm certainly not a pro, but
all right, Alex, as a first timer, what do I need to look for, and what do I need to be avoiding?
Well, I think we've already made a mistake that no one should make, which is, we've scheduled a lot of interviews with people at different locations. It's very hard to get around Vegas. It's mob. It's crazy. But luckily, there is a solution. It's a solution that lies in the past. It's called a monorail.
Ooh.
It's not a self-driving car. If you, let me tell you, traffic sucks, waiting sucks, but the monorail is a gift.
Huh.
And it is the gift that Vegas gives us every year at CES. It's great.
Which is why I always stay on that side of the strip. The monorail side of the strip.
Well, I already screwed up then. I'm on the wrong side of the strip. But there will actually be, correct me if I'm wrong here, some autonomous cars. I think Aptiv and Lyft are teaming up to make autonomous cars available. So maybe we should be like do a Top Gear style like race.
We totally should.
Who wins monorail versus autonomous car?
I can tell you who's going to win.
Monorail. Yeah, of course.
But the experience in the Lyft Aptiv driverless car, but really actually there's a bunch of people in the car, will be more, I don't know, you know, there's definitely going to be a lot more dialogue because apparently according to this this demo pitch that I received, and I think you received too, it's a test driver and another person in the car.
Yeah. Autonomous drive technology is actually creating jobs at this point.
Yeah. Exactly. So all our fears about autonomy taking away jobs is unfounded.
Well, you know what some VC said yesterday? Autonomy doesn't destroy jobs. It destroys professions. speaking of professions, when you get there, and we'll experience it together, unfortunately, you're in the convention center and you need to go anywhere. You have a pretty long walk. You have like a three-block walk or two-block walk, depending where you're in the convention center, to get to the monorail access point. But if you want to get a Uber or a Lyft, they actually have taken over entire parking lots near the center. So you have a 2 or 3 block walk there, and then you have 300 or 400 people waiting. And they have to park in numbered stalls. There's no other way to identify which car was yours.
If after CES we pivot and make this a podcast about trains, you'll understand why.
Nice.
It's a real clutch, and it is expensive to get around Vegas. It's like during CES week in a car. I mean, the surge pricing it sucks.
So speaking of CES, we're all clearly going to be there, and we will be having a small intimate soiree, as we tend to do when we all get together. Alex, you want to fill folks in on that? How they can?
We're having an intimate soiree. Yeah. It will be a get together. And we're looking for the most interesting people in the autonomous mobility, electric spaces. And this is not a press media event. This is, you know, for people who are in sector. I've gotten a lot of people saying, oh, can I come? Can I come? But I have no idea who these people are. Like, not even like a hello. I'm an engineer. So if you have not received an invitation and you'd like to come, please DM one of us.
Yep.
And please include a reason like, hey, this is what I do. If you're looking for a job and you're trying to meet a celebrity in the sector, this is not the party for you. You know, there are a lot of other events that do that. This is This is, you already are in the sector, you've done something, maybe you want to do something different, you want to talk about that in an intimate setting. And this is not a media event. If you are a writer or journalist, you're not a personal friend of ours, this is not the party for you. And if you yep. are, this is not a place to do interviews. This is right. not
this,
the right place.
This is an off-the-record event. Yeah. So hopefully that is a compelling pitch for this event, because we certainly, if you are an interesting person, we certainly hope that you can make it and come have interesting conversations with us and our guests.
Because most parties at CES suck. They really do suck. Yep. And I like to hold a good party. And if you don't believe me, well, you haven't looked me up.
Yeah.
Well, and here's one solution. If you are media and you try to do on-record interviews there, then we'll just give you a bunch of shots.
Yeah.
Then you won't be able to function. You'll probably embarrass yourself. And
then we'll interview you. And,
right.
And then I'm going to come over episode. And start cursing and saying offensive things that can never be, you know, made public.
Yeah.
Also, we should be clear, no minders or handlers.
Yeah. If you're a PR person and you really want to come, you have to at least pretend to be an engineer.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a few ways to do that. I think that we might have some sort of, I don't know, some sort of mathematical equation that you have to solve prior.
Yep.
I know we'll have to reach out to our engineering friends. Also make sure that I can solve it myself too, because you know, I don't want to be rejected to my own party.
I mean, I definitely can't pass for an engineer. I know that.
Nor can I.
But there is actual news sort of already starting to come out of CES. Some of it, we're still just getting the broadest contours of, I think, what Nissan wants to get people's brains involved with driving. So it sounds like a crazy idea.
Have either of you two seen the movie Firefox with Clint Eastwood?
I've not.
No.
Peterson, come on.
It sounds compelling. Firefox, Clint Eastwood.
It's very 80s, right?
It's very 80s. It's about Clint Eastwood trying to steal a Russian fighter. I think it's the MiG 30-something Fox. I forget what they call it in the movie. It's awesome. And in the film, it is the weapons are controlled by mind control. And he has a problem because he forgets he has to think in Russian in order to fire the missiles. Mm. And so Nissan's got a system which apparently is going to – the system will allegedly read your brain waves and trigger the brakes, you know, milliseconds earlier than they would otherwise be triggered by your own foot. And that is supposed to maybe save lives, which is interesting because, I'll wait and see till we see the system. The problem here, I don't think, is that people's, you know, reactions aren't that good. The problem is most people don't think to brake at all.
Right.
They're just completely unaware that they should be braking. And so the brain wave, you know, reader is not going to be very helpful for them.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of drivers I see on the road, it doesn't seem like there's any brain involvement at all in driving. And I'm not sure putting electrodes to their head is going to change.
Stop talking about Colorado and the recreational drug use. Okay.
So what else is coming?
Kirsten?
Well, I mean, we already kind of got this news, but we're going to be hearing more about this relationship, which was last week. Aurora Innovation, which was founded by Chris Urmson, Sterling Anderson, and Drew Bagnell. They are basically creating a full stack or package self-driving vehicle system. And they just really launched a year ago. Volkswagen and Hyundai have partnered with them. They announced this ahead of CES, but they're going to be on hand. I think we're going to be talking with them, hopefully. And I'm very interested to see sort of how this whole relationship plays out. And we got a chance to actually interview and speak with Johan Youngworth, or JJ, over at VW Group. He had some interesting things to say about, I mean, he's certainly excited about where he sees VW Group fitting into all of this. And I'm very interested to see how it plays out. Biggest question for me is Volkswagen Group has been developing self-driving vehicle technology for a decade. And now with this Aurora partnership, what does that mean? How is that going to shake out? Is it a definite replacement, or is it some sort of dual pursuit? It's hard to know this early stage, but I'm really curious to see what happens with that.
Yep. And we have actually that interview with JJ ready to go. So let's go to that.
This is a great guest. I want to welcome Johan Youngworth. And for those who don't know who that is, JJ is the chief digital officer for VW Group, but really he's leading the self-driving vehicle effort over at the company. And so this is across all VW Group brands, which is a huge group that spans Volkswagen cars, Audi, you know, many others. So welcome, JJ, to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Kirsten, Alex, and Ed.
So I want to kick things off a little bit by the big partnership news that just happened in the last few days. I want to kick it off to you to maybe describe a little bit about what this partnership means. But for those who haven't heard already, Volkswagen and Aurora, which is a startup out of Palo Alto and Pittsburgh, have decided to partner. And essentially, Aurora is going to be building and working with Volkswagen to provide the self-driving car systems for Volkswagen self-driving vehicles. And what I'd really love to hear from you, JJ, is what you mean by that, by self-driving vehicles, because I think a lot of folks out there might think this is a traditional car, but really this is potentially going to be used across a number of different vehicle platforms and in a variety of different ways. So maybe bring everyone up to speed a little bit about sort of some of the details of the partnership.
Yes, would love to. So first of all, you know, for me, this is huge. And this is kind of, you know, reinventing the automobile as it has been out there, you know, for 130 plus years and mobility, individual mobility, especially. And when I look in the future, you know, starting, let's say, kind of beginning of next decade, in 2021, I expect, you know, the first self-driving vehicles in large fleets in the first cities. And I call that mobility as a service, you know, with all kinds of services, you know, ride hailing, ride pooling, door to door, station to station, and so on, different pricing and so on. And when I look at that business in the future, especially from an end customer perspective, you know, it really divides into kind of five value layers. And this is important, you know, to understand this partnership with Aurora. So if you look at this horizontally, kind of the bottom layer is the self-driving system. This first layer, you know, is the self-driving system, and that's why we partner with Aurora. Layer two is really the automotive OEM with all these, you know, special purpose-built vehicles with no steering wheel, no pedals, no cockpit, different seating arrangements, different sizes, you know, for door-to-door operations, for station-to-station, and so on. And that's, of course, great for us because we need to develop this self-driving system, you know, the layer one for mobility as a service just once and then can integrate it into different vehicle platforms. Then layer three is the fleet operators. I mean, you need fleet operations in every single city you go to and fleet management and fleet maintenance and so on. And we want to be full service and full system, you know, and overall all-in-one solution providers to cities. Layer four is really the mobility provider, kind of having the customer, you know, ID and profile and credit card information and so on, accounting. So it's like, you know, Uber today or Lyft or Moya in our case. That's why we founded Moya, another startup of ours. And then layer five is what I call kind of the content provider. You know, those could be for digital content. If you think about our Cedric, our first self-driving car concept, which we actually just introduced last year, that is a four-seater. And we had a huge OLED screen integrated in this vehicle. You know, you can imagine all kind of content from entertainment to gaming, especially advertisements. It will be a huge advertisement platform. So for us, now coming back to the partnership with Aurora, it is important that, you know, we have either great partners or great in-house solutions for all of these, you know, five layers so that we are ready for mobility as a service. And that's for me really the disruption of you know, mobility as we know it today.
Within the group, there have been already R&D towards self-driving. What's going to happen to those internal R&D programs? And how much time has been saved to deployment because of this Aurora partnership?
There is a shortage in, you know, engineering resources worldwide, you know, working on the self-driving vehicles and the self-driving system. So all of our engineers who have in-house are actually all busy, and we need all of them. Clearly, in that regards, basically having now the support of Aurora and their engineering skills, it's a great addition. And we actually complement each other. In my opinion, this will actually bring us even quicker to market with, you know, a safe, reliable, and really well-working level 4 and then eventually level 5 fully autonomous self-driving system in our self-driving vehicles.
The company has sort of been at this for a while. So I guess, you know, kind of jumping back on what Alex was saying, I mean, how can you give us more nuance as to what is different here? I mean, what's happening to all that development that happened these past few years or almost a decade now? Was that just like a stepping stone to this partnership with Aurora? Did Volkswagen sort of hit a point where they just really needed to bring in outside help? Or are the pieces of development that have been underway for years now going to be combined with what Aurora is bringing to the table?
This goes back actually to 2005 when our team, the Volkswagen and Stanford University team, actually won the DARPA challenge, right? I mean, that's when our activity started. That's how far back you know, our work in this area is going. But to be clear, the, let's say, majority of the time was focused on basic research and not on product development and serious development. There is additional work which we are doing also in-house, you know, going from level 3 autonomy now to level 4 for ownership vehicles. You know, if you think about our brands, the whole brand portfolio from Seat, Skoda to Volkswagen, Audi, Porsche, you know, Lamborghini, Bentley, Bugatti, and then our truck and bus brands like Scania and MAN. This, the focus of the partnership with Aurora is clearly on the self-driving system purely for level 4, or I call it level 4 plus, level 5 for these special purpose vehicles.
Before today's announcement, there are probably not a lot of people sort of outside of our world probably knew, you know, that Aurora Innovations was a company, knew that it existed. They've been in stealth mode, but they've also only been around for 1 year. You talked about the talent that they bring to the table. And I'm wondering, is this like a reflection of how relatively early we are in the development process, that a company with the right talent is more attractive as a partner than maybe one that's been working on the problem for longer as a company?
Yeah, certainly. This is about, let's say, having the right engineering skills, having the right talent, you know, developing the right algorithms. I mean, you need to see, without AI, without machine learning, deep neural networks, without deep learning, we would not be able to actually solve this massive engineering problem to bring self-driving vehicles to market. If you look at the overall, you know, self-driving system, from the perception, you know, the sensor fusion, the object detection, the situation analysis, you know, the situation analysis, heavy deep learning, then the path planning, the decision-making module, you know, also there, heavy deep learning and neural networks, and then all the way to localization and mapping or HD mapping, you know, the learning curve, it's exponential. I mean, it's massive. It's just the perfect timing now. And I'm actually very confident now within the next few years now, going from, you know, a fleet of about, let's say, a high double-digit number of vehicles this year to a triple-digit number of vehicles next year in 2019, and then, you know, four-digit number 2020, you know, preparing for the launch of the first, you know, vehicles in 2021 in the first, let's say, 2 to 5 cities. That's actually a very realistic time frame, and I'm very confident that you know, we will be able to execute this. And for me, you know, having this layer one, you know, out of the 5 value layers as I described before, covered, and a partner like Aurora, you know, very reliable and actually with the right talent on board to solve, you know, this especially software and machine learning and algorithms and analytics engineering problem is the right thing to do. And I'm very positive and very bullish that this will happen as I, you know, see it. I want to come back actually to one other important topic. I mean, I touched on that a bit. I mean, this whole human experience and user experience is just so important to me. Our vision is mobility for all at the push of a button. So really, mobility for all people worldwide, you know, including Africa, India, other places, but also in terms of inclusivity, in terms of accessibility, you know, individual mobility for the blinds, the children, the elderly, the sick. You know, if I think about individual mobility, you know, as it's been the last 130 plus years, you know, certain groups of people were just excluded. In the next few years, just a few years, you know, being able to offer individual mobility to all these people, you know, to children, to the blinds, and so on, this is massive. And this is going to change the world. This is actually make the world a better place.
We are very much on board with the theoretical benefits of autonomy, and we are very familiar with VW Group. But this deal with Aurora was not exclusive to VW. You know, they announced that they're working with Hyundai. The stack that Aurora offers is, in theory, you know, anyone could have it. So what competitive advantage does the VW Group have, and what is to prevent any other, a rival manufacturer in a serious way from signing a deal with Aurora, you know, getting access to the same stack and deploying front ends that compete with the services you described?
First of all, actually, it's a great thing that Aurora has also signed a partnership, you know, with Hyundai. I mean, if you think about it, now they got actually two out of the top four automotive OEMs as partners. And actually, this is a good thing for us. I mean, if I look at this long term, I do believe that out of the 50 plus companies, you know, trying to develop a self-driving system, probably only a handful, you know, maybe only between 2 and 5 companies will really make it and set standards. And, you know, the fewer self-driving systems are out there in the future, the better it is for society, for, you know, safety, traffic safety, and so on. So, you know, this is a platform business. And the more people, the more vehicles, the more self-driving vehicles, the more mobility as a service solutions are built on one self-driving system platform, the better it is. You know, when I look at this longer term, really the differentiation will not be so much in the self-driving system. Of course, initially, it will be about, you know, who gets first to, let's say, the first 2 to 5 cities, then to 50, then to 500. And then the differentiation is, you know, more in layer 2 and layer 4 and in layer 5, meaning it's almost like, you know, think about a plane today, yeah. You know, economy class, economy plus, business, all the way to first class. I mean, why do people pay so much more, you know, to fly in business or first? It's just a very different experience.
So it almost sounds like we're moving towards a world, and I was just about to mention airlines, because, right, airlines don't compete on safety. They don't say, you know, our flights crash less than the other guys. They work together to make sure that they're all safe. Is the auto industry maybe sort of moving in that direction where sort of competing on the mechanics of these autonomous drive systems is not really going to be productive, and sort of it's in everyone's incentive to make sure that they all work really well so that you can compete in other things?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the right thing to do. And because it's the right thing to do, I'm moving in this direction, and I'm pushing, you know, the world in this direction, because at the end of the day, you know, I want every vehicle on the planet to be safe and drive safely. And we should have zero accidents, and we should have zero emissions, and we should have zero noise.
Whoa. Hey.
Well, let's talk really quickly about what the next actual step is going to be. So you've got testing going on and things like that, but you've put out this concept vehicle, the Cedric, which means is short for self-driving car. And it sort of is this little pod. Are you going to start producing that? I mean, is that the goal, to produce what we saw when it was introduced during Geneva Motor Show?
The development phase is kind of, you know, a two-track approach. On the one track, you know, we are using current production vehicles, some platforms, you know, to integrate the Aurora self-driving system and, you know, really, let's say, work on the engineering and development and getting the self-driving system, you know, to high maturity level and to a high quality level, and to make sure that we actually get it ready for approval and for homologation and certification and so on. And that can be done, you know, with current vehicles initially, with, you know, the fleet sizes I mentioned before. Then the second track is really focusing on the new, you know, special purpose designed vehicles for all these different use cases. And of course, you know, the initial two use cases will be, you know, like this Cedric Urban Pod, smaller one, like a 4-seater, and then a Cedric Urban Shuttle, larger one, you know, the Cedric Urban Pod, more for, you know, ride hailing door to door. And then the, you know, Cedric Urban Shuttle kind of a ride pooling service, you know, cost-wise or price-wise, I should say, for end customers, somewhere in between, let's say, ride hailing and public transportation. And then, of course, also focusing on the transportation of goods, like the mobile, you know, mailbox stations, as I described, a huge business, all the way to trucks without cabins.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's a huge amount of possibility. I'm going to be really curious to see what VW Group ends up doing first, and if they'll experiment with different iterations based on these 2 to 4 city pilots, or if it will all kind of look the same. I'm not sure if you can talk a little bit about that at all, but I am, you know, really curious to see what these pilots end up looking like.
So we have done already actually a massive amount of work to even come up with the Cedric design. I mean, if you look at the Cedric, you know, exterior and interior with the kind of seating bench, like a lounge with the two seats, you know, looking forward towards this big, you know, large OLED screen with all the, you know, inner experiences and user experience on the digital side and also physical services and so on. And then the two foldable seats, you know, depending on whether you travel with just two people and some luggages or whether you drive with four people or so. And, you know, definitely these initial two vehicles, you know, like the Cedric Urban Pod, the small one, and then, you know, the Cedric Urban Shuttle are kind of the first concept, the first designs, you know, for ride pooling and then ride hailing on the other side, which at the moment, based on all the testing we did, and we did a lot of, you know, user testing, a lot of design loops already, you know, we brought in like tens, if not hundreds of passengers, of customers, potential customers, into our future centers. You know, we have three future centers around the world: a future center Europe in Potsdam near Berlin, a future center California in Silicon Valley in Belmont, and a future center Asia in Beijing. And you know, also working with blinds. I mean, we worked with blinds in London. We did a study there, you know, in kind of a visit of Oz, you know, vehicle, so that the blinds actually kind of got the experience as in such a Cedric, you know, ride-hailing urban pod. And we also started, you know, the work with the blinds or the associations or the blinds in the United States. You know, this whole topic of accessibility and inclusivity and really offering mobility for all, this is so close to my heart. And so we have done already a lot of that, let's say, initial design work. So we have a pretty clear understanding of how the vehicles will look like and platform sizes and so on. Of course, this will still be, you know, refined as we are now in going into, you know, the serious design and development. But, you know, I think we have a pretty good understanding of what we need to do and where we need to be in the next 3.5 years.
Do you have anything planned for CES, any big announcements or demonstrations?
So we do have some, which I can't disclose yet. And, you know, you're happy to come by. Yeah, some of those days, like on the 9th, on the first day, I cannot give you too much heads up on that. We will also have actually a dinner, kind of a fireside chat with Chris Urmson, Sterling Anderson, and myself on stage. Actually, a small event, you know, to talk more about this partnership and you know, respond some of these questions also to some of the other very interested, you know, media. Journalists, and looking forward to that. It's going to be a great event.
And where can people go to find out more about you, maybe follow you on social media or find out more about the projects that you're working on?
I am on Twitter, Johan Youngworth, and I'm on LinkedIn, you know, publish some articles there, especially Twitter and LinkedIn. Those are my two main channels.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. As you can probably tell by the length of the conversation, we had a great time and it was fascinating stuff. So thank you. And we look forward to hearing more about what you and Volkswagen Group are doing moving forward.
Awesome. Thank you very much. It was actually a great conversation. I enjoyed it. Thank you.